This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
It really is amazing. If you search the entire scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and of course, as you always should be doing, you're looking for Jesus Christ. You find out very quickly that that is not the only name he goes by. He has other names, many found in the Old Testament, and still more names found in the New Testament. And in each and every one of these names, be they Old or New Testament names, for our Savior Jesus Christ, there is something to be learned, something to bring comfort in his death and resurrection for us, his saving work for us on the cross. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, March the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our guest this hour, Pastor Eric Rotman, he joins us to talk about the names of Jesus. He is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri, and staff writer for Good News Magazine. The theme of the latest issue is the names of Jesus. Pastor Rotman, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
There's so much to learn, and there's so much comfort here in the names of Jesus. Why is it so very important that we as students of Scripture make this one of the big subjects of our study?
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head when you say there is so much comfort here. When we first started the research for this particular issue of Good News Magazine that focuses on the names of Jesus, it was almost overwhelming to see the number of names that speak about our Lord Jesus Christ, his work for us, the office that he holds for us and for our salvation. And it was almost like the names of Jesus were coming at us from every angle of the Scriptures. Now, why is this so important? Well, you could say that on one level, Jesus is the giver of many gifts. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he rose again for you, for your salvation, for your forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is, of course, chief among Jesus' gifts, along with resurrection and eternal life with him. But he is the giver of many gifts. He's the comforter of those who sorrow. He is the help of the afflicted. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the radiance of God. The more you get to know Jesus' names, the more you begin to plumb the depths of his almost unimaginable and inexpressible love for you and all of the gifts that he brings.
Central to all of these, really the one that governs and teaches us how to rightly understand all the names of Jesus, wherever we find them in Scripture, is his proper name, the one given him by God through an angel, then through his earthly parents, that being Jesus. What's there?
That's right. Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. So even prior to our Lord's birth, by the voice of an angel, this God-man, this creator of the whole universe, now reduced to Mary's womb, is identified by means of a name which describes the heart, the soul, the core of what it is he comes to do. He will save his people from their sins.
It's not in itself an uncommon name. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, especially in what we call the New Testament era, among Palestinian Jews, it was a very common name.
It was a common name, and I think that that even helps us understand who Jesus is. Jesus is not one who remains separate from us. Jesus is one who fully embraces every aspect of our humanity, even our sin, taking our sin upon himself to die for us. So this is not Jesus, the guy who's kind of different than the rest of us. This is Jesus, John Q. Public, if you will. And not only was that name Jesus a popular name in Palestine, but it continues to remain a popular name in many countries today, especially in Spanish-speaking countries, where many parents will give their children the name Jesus.
So when, I guess this is kind of related to it, when Jesus instructs us to ask in his name, to pray in his name, and the church has taken this to mean this proper name of Jesus, what is Jesus actually promising there?
Well, Jesus is promising that all who call on his name will be heard by God the Father. And one of the great things about knowing the different names of Jesus is calling on this name brings before you the gift and the promise associated with that name. For example, when you feel yourself overwhelmed with trouble and sorrows, you can call upon Jesus, the deliverer, the one who draws us up out of our trouble. When you feel lost like a sheep without a shepherd, call upon Jesus, the good shepherd, who guides and protects his sheep faithfully and always.
Some of these don't sound like names to us, but if you stop for a minute and just think about it, they really are. One being, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. This name, resurrection and life. What's there, Pastor Rodman?
There is great joy, great confidence in the Christian faith for everyday living. Jesus not only said that he will rise as a verb, but he also said he is the resurrection. So, here is the Christian, baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to use the term in Acts, baptized into the name of Jesus. And Paul says that when you are baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. And what is Christ? Christ is the resurrection. Christ is the life. So here you can, every day now, get up, stretch, sit on the corner of your bed, and know, through this day, I have the power of Jesus' resurrection wrapped around me, because he is the resurrection, and he has come and wrapped himself around me in my baptism.
You made a very important point right there that I think we need to spend some time talking about as we go into this break. And that is, we're not talking just about names attributed to Jesus or given to Jesus, but we're talking about the name that is now ours as those for whom he died, as those who have been washed by water and the word in holy baptism. Say more about that.
Well, if you've listened to enough of the interviews that you and I have done together, and if you've read enough Good News magazine, you've probably come to know that we at Good News, we were really all about baptism. Everything washes back to baptism. So even when we talk about a names of Jesus issue and things like this, baptism still ends up coming onto the table for us, because it is through baptism where the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus' name, the gift attached to that particular name of Jesus gets personally delivered to you. So, yes, baptism is not the main topic of the issue, but this is what you might call the delivery system or the vehicle that God uses to bring the benefit of Jesus' names into your life here today personally.
You said a little bit about this a minute ago, but you also write, Jesus' resurrection is for you now. With about a minute and a half, what does that mean?
Well, you will, on the last day when Jesus comes back and raises all the dead, you will be raised up and you will be given your body back, perfect, whole, completely free of sin. But Jesus' resurrection is also for you today, because Jesus' resurrection takes away your fear of death. You don't need to cower under your desk or your table. You don't need to be afraid of going out and speaking to your friends. You don't need to worry if something horrible is going to happen to you You've been baptized into the name of Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection. So that, as he himself says, whoever lives and believes in him will never die. That is great confidence with which every Christian can walk through every day of life.
Is it important to understand here, Eric, the first context in which Jesus spoke those words, I am the resurrection and the life, speaking to a woman whose brother had been dead in the tomb for 4 days, a woman whose brother he's about to raise from the dead?
That the context is great, and on this particular page of Good News, we have a picture of Jesus calling to Lazarus while that grieving woman is there watching, and Jesus is, by the power of his word, saying to this dead man, rise and come forth. That very same power of Jesus' words that gave Lazarus the gift of life is the same power that functions in your life and in my life, in the life of all the baptized of Christ, when we are focused on these names of Jesus.
Well, you see, we've only done two so far in this conversation with Pastor Eric Rotman, and already there's more than we can handle in the names of Jesus. On this Monday, March the 7th, Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest. We're talking about the names of Jesus. When we come back, he also says, I am the light of the world. That's an easy one for us to skip over because we're so accustomed to a world filled with light of our own making, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. Pastor Eric Rotman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri. He's a staff writer for Good News Magazine. The theme of the latest issue of Good News is the names of Jesus. When we come back, I am the light of the world. What else does Jesus say of himself? And see, we're only here so far talking about the names that Jesus attributes to himself. Later in our conversation, there's a whole wealth of names that God gives to him elsewhere in Scripture.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Monday afternoon, March the 7th. Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest. We're talking about the names of Jesus. We're moving now from resurrection and the life, which we could spend an entire hour talking about, to another one that's enormous, I think, especially understood in the context of the first century world, one that doesn't have the same kind of impact for us for some reason today, because we light our world ourselves. We don't live in a world of darkness, especially if we live anywhere near a big city, Pastor Rotman. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Yes, sir. We are in a very artificially lit place, and I was just thinking that maybe you need to pack up your crew and come out here to Versailles in Missouri, and I'll bring you out to the middle of a cow field one night, and I'll show you darkness. But that is a great way of thinking about the names of Jesus. The scriptures say over and over again that people live in darkness apart from God, that when they are dead in their sins and trespasses, this is like an impenetrable darkness. This is like the darkness at the very deepest level of the ocean, where there's not even a shred of light. And if you can imagine that sort of pitch black, Jesus is the light of the world. Doesn't matter if it's a big bonfire-style light. It could be the light the size of a match or a birthday candle. That light pierces that darkness. That light illuminates eyes that previously could not see. That light can be seen from almost any distance in that darkness, and that's what Jesus is. For the people who are in the darkness of sin, which is every single person born on the face of the earth.
He doesn't say, I am a light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. I mean, some people would say, maybe he's saying he's the brightest light in the world, but it sounds to me like he's saying he's the only light.
That's right. He is Christ, the only light, the light of the world. When we are speaking the words of God to one another, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, don't hide your light under a bushel basket. I don't think it would be good for us to think of ourselves as having a separate light, but what do we have? We have the light of Jesus, the light of the world, who is shining through us.
Well, it's a reflected light, isn't it, Pastor Rotman? Because I like to think of it in terms of the moon and the sun. When I see the moon in the sky at night, I'm not seeing the moon's light, I'm seeing the sun's light reflected. And it's amazing how brilliantly it is reflected. Even when I see only a crescent, a sliver of a crescent of the moon's light in the sky, it's still showing me where the sun is. That light is coming from nowhere else but the sun.
That's right. That is a very good analogy to describe the light of Christ as it shines forth in the lives and in the daily works and words of God's Christians.
The next one may not sound very comforting. Judge, another name of Jesus.
Yeah, judge. Now, it all depends on where you are in the faith that God gives, or in unbelief and still in the darkness and death of your sins. Jesus Christ is the judge, and for those who do not have His miraculous God-given gift of faith, that's a very frightening concept. He will come to judge you, to hold against you something. Now, that's only frightening if you are not a Christian. If you are a Christian, the promise that Jesus is your judge is actually a great and comforting gift, because Jesus is not only the judge, but as I hope we'll get a chance to talk here in a little bit, He's also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that because all your sins have been cast on Him, along with Peter's denial and David's adultery and Judas's betrayal, because all of your sins have been cast on Him, when He comes to judge, Christians know that this will be a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving, because God no longer holds their sins against them on account of this Jesus.
Let's talk about that Lamb of God. This is a name that is given Him in the Old Testament. I'm thinking in particular about Isaiah's suffering servant, where He is referred to as a lamb, but then made even clearer in the proclamation of John the Baptist.
Yes, and this is, you know, I have a very good friend who is a Baptist pastor, and this is a verse that he and I continually go round and round on, because John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29 very clearly says, the Lamb of God, the one carrying the sin of the world. And I point out to my pastor friend that this, the one carrying the sin of the world, is what we call a present participle. It means Jesus is right there, right then, carrying the sins of the world. And then I point to my pastor friend and say, oh, look at that. John identifies Jesus as the sin of the, a carrier of the sin of the world after he was baptized. And this pastor friend of mine struggles with that. He does not want to see baptism as being the point where Jesus takes up the sins of the world, because he doesn't want to see baptism as the point where all of us get our sins taken away from us by God.
I mean, that is so important. That, I mean, just to dwell on the grammar, the simple grammar there. I mean, that John is saying, the actual words say, look, the Lamb of God is carrying the sins of the world.
Yes, yes. So from the point of his baptism, Jesus has every sin that you have ever committed, every sin that I have ever committed. Even beyond that, Jesus, from the point of his baptism, is carrying the curse of sin that you and I were born with before we could even contribute sins to it. So this is, for me personally, one of the greatest joys and comforts in my own life, and it is one of the verses to which I continually point God's Christians. Look, Jesus is now carrying your sin. Yes, you feel bad about it. Don't beat yourself up, because Jesus already got beat up. He got pierced through, and he got put to death because of it.
Jesus has another name that he attributes to himself, this in John's gospel, and it goes along with the name that he gives to us. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches.
You know, as I was preparing for this, I thought about when we got to the vine saying, Todd, I've been waiting for a long time to tell you that you're a fruit. But that's kind of a good way to think about this. Jesus is the vine. He has a root that cannot easily be pulled up. And up through this vine into the fruit, which is you and me and every other Christian, or even the branches, we could say, to follow Jesus' wording even more closely, through this root, this vine, flows the sap, the very substance of life that keeps us alive. Jesus is the vine that gives us our anchor, our place, through whom we, like he, also bear fruit.
And the illustration here, albeit we are presenting this on a non-visual medium, but the illustration here is remarkable, some original artwork of well, you have to describe it for us, how the painting is called Grafted into Christ, but what is the picture here?
Well, this picture is worth a phone call to the Good News office for any of our hearers to get a complimentary copy of this current issue. Jesus is depicted hanging on the cross, and at the bottom of his of the cross, where his feet are, from his, I would say, knees and shins downward, there is vine-like branching. In fact, there are no feet on this crucifix. It is a vine which continues down into the ground. Now, this is very unique. This is very compelling art, but it's also, I'll say, somewhat reflective of the art of the Reformation, and even before the Reformation, where Jesus was sometimes depicted as being crucified on a vineyard, a trestle. Now, at the top of this particular piece of art, Jesus' cross is split open, and then there is a new section of vine grafted into the top of the cross, tied in place, and up out of this grows green leaves, branches, fruit. The whole point of this beautiful piece of artwork is that your life, your health, your fruit production, your flourishing in this life, all is rooted and grafted into Jesus Christ, the vine, who was crucified for us and for our salvation.
We've got about a minute and a half here before we break again. This is one of those things that, again, reminds us in this name of Jesus that there is no life apart from him, that we are sustained entirely and solely by him. Your thoughts there with about a minute.
Well, that's exactly the point. And this is what I try to impress on people when I encourage them to come to worship or when I encourage them to renew their habit of worship. You know, sometimes I'll visit folks and the first thing they'll say to me is, I know, I need to be in church. But they're only thinking in terms of the command, the law, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What Christ, with the name the vine, is showing us is that this is the ongoing life supply for you. Going to worship is not about keeping a law. Going to worship is about receiving again that life-flowing sap. To shift analogies, going to worship is like receiving kidney dialysis where the perfect blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sins while your sin and regret and failure all get siphoned off onto him. Worship is all about Jesus, the living vine, continually supplying life to you, his branches.
Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest. He's a staff writer for Good News Magazine. Tell you a little bit more about it on the other side of the break. We're talking about the names of Jesus. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Independent and in the black for 3 years and running. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Facebook is saying yes to unborn babies. Social media has revolutionized the way we communicate. Facebook has 750 million users. Now they have the option of adding unborn babies to their family profile. It's an expected child category where you can add an ultrasound picture of the baby as well as the due date. Once added, a notification goes out to all of the user's friends. The unmistakable message is unborn babies are a loved and valued member of the family. Our nation's young people have grown up with an ultrasound image as their first baby photo. They have a wealth of scientific fetal development information at their fingertips. It's no wonder they're more pro-life than their parents. And Facebook shows the world is changing too.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the names of Jesus on this Monday afternoon with Pastor Eric Rotman, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri, and staff writer for Good News Magazine. The latest edition is all about the names of Jesus. Now, Pastor Rotman mentioned just a few minutes ago giving them a call so you could get a complimentary copy of Good News Magazine. Here's their toll-free number, 1-800-778-1132, 800-778-1132. That's the toll-free number to get a complimentary copy of the latest edition of Good News Magazine. Here's the one that everybody's familiar with. I am the Good Shepherd, another name of Jesus. What's there, Pastor Rotman?
There is someone who is always carefully watching over you, someone who never sleeps or slumbers, someone who is faithfully guarding and protecting you against the wiles of the devil, the snares of the world. Jesus, your good shepherd, who is with you always, who through his word calls so that you may know where safe pasture is and dwell securely.
This is tied together, and you do it very well in this issue of Good News, with another aspect of his shepherding, and that is his voice.
Yes. And this is a very important part of the Good Shepherd name. I know my sheep know me, they listen to my voice. Well, where is the voice of Jesus to be found if not in the Scriptures of God? So, and here's the benefit for everyday use of the Good Shepherd name. My shepherd is speaking to me. Here, as I open my Bible, as I read my daily devotions, my shepherd is speaking to me. He is giving me nourishment of green pasture here in these words that I read.
The next one that I think is so important for Christians to delve into, and probably as familiar, although by many Christians completely unappreciated because they have a deficient view of the Lord's Supper, bread of life, bread that came down from heaven. There's lots of, Jesus calls himself bread an awful lot. He's even born in the house of bread.
Yes, bread is a major theme in Jesus' teaching concerning himself, especially when you come to John 6. I am the bread of life, and there are so many wonderful communion hymns in our hymnal that tap into this John 6 living bread from heaven imagery, so that when we're gathering around the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in bread and wine, celebrating Holy Communion, many of our hymns speak this very bread of life imagery, this name of Jesus. And I think that's one of the reasons why, as you say, this particular name is so underappreciated. When you don't believe that Holy Communion is Christ's body and blood, when you don't confess that here he is feeding you the very benefits of his suffering and death, well, the bread of life from heaven imagery is going to be less than helpful for you.
And I guess what so many Christians miss out on is that real connection. We've talked about Jesus being vine and light, and those are kind of metaphorical ways, still leaving the question unanswered, how is it that his life is given to me? How is it that my life is derived from him? Here in the Lord's Supper, it's not metaphorical anymore, is it, Pastor Rodman?
Not at all. And this is what I love about the hymnody. Thou bread of life alone art able to satisfy and make me whole. And then we sing the well-known refrain among many Lutherans, Lord, may thy body and thy blood before my soul, the highest good. That's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, for the bread of life name of Jesus.
Great physician. We this has found its way into our liturgical life, Jesus as the great physician of body and soul, but more than just the guy who heals us. Talk about that.
Yes. Now, remember, one of the great places to learn about Jesus, the great physician, is this. It is not the well who need the doctor, but the sick ones who need it, that Jesus says to Levi. The other passage that I really love to talk about when we talk about the healing Jesus gives is the Isaiah 53 passage, where Jesus is so clearly laid out as the suffering servant, the Lamb of God, the one who bore our griefs and infirmities, and by his stripes we are healed. Not we will be healed, we are healed. And so I teach my people, even while you are suffering your chronic back pain, even while you are engaged in a battle against cancer, even while if arthritis is forcing you into a wheelchair, Jesus' stripes have already healed you. You may regard these diseases these afflictions as enemies already defeated. Yes, they're going to try to do their worst with you, but they cannot, they shall not succeed, because by Jesus' stripes you are healed. This speaks about the bodily healing that is yours in the resurrection of all flesh, as well as the spiritual healing of new life.
It's remarkable how much this becomes a theme in the book of Acts, where at the very beginning, the apostles' preaching and teaching about the death and resurrection of Jesus is kind of shorthanded by its opponents, that they are proclaiming the name of Jesus, speak no longer in that name. But they're not just speaking, they're continuing to do the very things that Jesus did by his name.
That's right. Now, I find it interesting that as the book continues, the healing continues, yes, but the theme of baptism also continues. And I'm going to contend, along with many others, that in these healings in the name of Jesus, and then where in the book of Acts there's the baptisms in the name of Jesus, I'm beginning to think that Luke is giving us a way of looking at our baptism, so that when we are baptized in the name of Jesus, which is just another way of saying in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there we receive the benefit of his stripes. There the healing that he earned for us in his death is personally delivered, like an aloe or a salve rubbed across the diseases that we suffer affliction.
One we haven't talked about yet, but we need to, is Jesus, our intercessor. And it's not just a name given to him, but it is the role that Scripture tells us he currently plays for us before the Father.
Yes, right now, and in fact, there's some art out there that shows this beautifully. Right now, Jesus is interceding before the Father on our behalf. We have an advocate with the Father, it says in 1 John. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. So when you think of Jesus as your intercessor, when you involve the intercession of God in your prayers, you can think of Jesus showing his crucifixion scars to the Father, as if reminding him, those things that these people have fallen into, those things of which they're guilty, look here. This is where they are paid. There is no anger that needs to be held against them, because I have borne it in these scars.
There's a threefold name. We'll probably take the better part of the rest of our conversation to talk about it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's start with the way.
Well, Jesus says that there is only one way of salvation, that is, one pathway, one road. It's the very same way that is lit by the light, not a light, but the light of Christ. If anyone would come to the Father, he must come by Jesus. He is the way, Jesus says.
It's, again, another one of those, the light, the bread. You said it just a moment ago. He's the only way. This is not a popular idea nowadays. Jesus is now very well accepted by our culture and by even some erring within the church as a way. Maybe the best way, maybe the most advisable way, but one way among several or many. Your thoughts there?
No, that's simply not allowing the New Testament to give direction to thought when people start speaking that way. I am the way. It's very clear, very emphatic, exclusive claim that Jesus makes concerning himself. There is no other way to eternal life and salvation except through Jesus and faith in his crucifixion and resurrection.
Pastor Eric Ratman is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with him on this Monday afternoon, March the 7th. We're talking about the names of Jesus, this threefold name. We've dealt a little bit with I am the way. When we come back, the truth and the life. These kind of summarize everything that we've been saying. And I would remind you, we've only scratched the surface of the names of Jesus. Pastor Eric Rotman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri, and he's staff writer for Good News Magazine. Their latest issue, its theme, The Names of Jesus. How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal. journal@issuesetc.org.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church. And yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's all-purpose sauce at your local grocery store or log on to countrybobs.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's all-purpose sauce.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest. For the next 10 minutes of the program, we're spending our time talking about this threefold name in the context of the names of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. One more question on the way, Pastor Rotman, and that is, if you look at it, this statement from Jesus in the original language, it suddenly connects you to some other statements that Jesus makes, because he actually calls himself the road. I mean, it's legitimately translated the way, but the word there, if I'm not mistaken, is just a simple word for road. And then that kind of opens up these other statements where Jesus talks about the road to destruction being wide, many pass along it, the road to eternal life being narrow. And then that opens up the door and all the other things that seem related to it in Scripture, to this name of Jesus.
And you make a great observation, how I would follow up on that is to say that the names of Jesus ought to be thought about as different tiles in a great mosaic of God's gifts. They're going to be interconnected, lying up one against another, and it's in the totality of these names that we get a fuller picture of all that Jesus is and does for us. Now, what I like about this observation, right from the Scriptures that you make, is this is in contradiction to what I hear some folks in my local area saying. There are some people in my area, for some reason, who are beginning to speak about their God as Yahweh only. They're focusing on one name of God, and it's an Old Testament name of God. And my ears are alerted to this, not because it's inappropriate that they should ever make use of that name. That's not my point. But they're beginning to make exclusive use of that one name to the exception and even the rejection of the other names. And I know, for example, there's a movement among many Pentecostals to deny that God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you start narrowing these names down to the ones you like, you can run yourself into some real difficult situations. But when you keep the whole mosaic of names before you and begin to see their lively interconnection, that's when the picture of God's grace and His Son Jesus just gets bigger and bigger and bigger for you.
And not to diverge too much, but the earliest creed of the Christians recorded in Scripture, Jesus is Lord, is Jesus is Yahweh. They were making a connection, a Trinitarian connection about who Jesus is. So what are we rightly confessing in this name of Jesus that Paul tells us will be the last utterance for all eternity? Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Yes, Jesus is the man who is the mediator between God and man. Jesus is God the Son. Jesus is Lord of hosts. Jesus is Son of Man. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. Jesus is the exact imprint of His nature. When we're confessing the name of Jesus, we're not saying that this is Yahweh exclusively, but we're confessing a great, mighty role of His names, and each one has wonderful aspects of His gifts attached to it.
Back to our threefold name, Way, Truth, and Life, He says, I am the truth. And that's a difficult truth, if you will, for people to hear nowadays in an age of anti-truth.
One of my favorite passages is the beginning verses of the book of Hebrews. In many and various ways, God spoke to the prophets, to our fathers through the prophets of old, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Emphatically spoken, now done speaking, if you work through the Greek there. So Jesus is the truth. Everyone who comes before Him in the Old Testament, including John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, they are all pointing the way to the truth. But now Jesus Himself is the truth, the way, the life. And all of those who follow after Jesus, the apostles, the preachers of the early church, those who stand in Christian pulpits today, they're not speaking their version of the truth. They're declaring Jesus, who is the truth. It's the very words of Jesus themselves who bring Jesus the truth to those who listen.
And it is a truth that saves. It's not just a truth like 1 + 1 = 2, not just an abstract, an objective, well, it is objective, but it is a truth that actually does something. Pastor Rotman, talk about that.
That's right. We're not talking about, yes, I know that Jesus lived, but the truth of, yes, this is the Lamb of God who carries all sins of the world, including mine. This is the resurrection who will raise me up. This is the Alpha who began my life and the Omega who shall be the completion of it. It is the truth that is embraced and held by God's gift of faith.
And finally, in many ways, tying all these together, because it does seem to be this ongoing theme that, as you said just a moment ago, they're all interconnected with one another. They're all brought together. He says, I am the life.
That's right. That same Jesus who wrapped Himself around you like a robe or a jacket in your baptism, that same Jesus is now the life by which you will never die. The disease that attacks, the hardship that afflicts, the age that continually moves each of us toward this grave that was opened for us at the very dawn of our birth, all of this now gets defied by Jesus, who doesn't merely have life, but He is life. And this Jesus now lives and dwells in you, wraps Himself around you in baptism, and never will part from you.
Paul says that our lives have been hidden with Christ in God, and Then he says, Christ, who is your life, when he appears, you shall appear with him, for we shall see him as he is. What's Paul saying there?
Well, when we tuck people into the grave, they don't look very alive, but their life has been hidden with Christ. And when Christ returns, he who is the resurrection and the life will raise us up so that our lives will no longer be hidden life, hidden resurrection, but they will be resurrection and life made fully revealed in us through Christ.
Does that mean that when we talk so glibly and so often about eternal life, as though it's in the next stage of our existence, does that mean that this eternal life is nothing other than, none other than Jesus himself, Pastor
Jesus, Robin? Jesus himself and our inseparable connection to him. There is so much about the life that is to come that is completely beyond description, I almost despair to describe what eternal life is for people, because I can barely fathom it. But what you say is probably the great starting point, that this eternal life itself is Jesus made manifest in us, clear in us, and never apart from us.
Pastor Eric Rotman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri. He's a staff writer for Good News Magazine, and the theme of the latest issue is the names of Jesus. What's the theme of the next issue, Pastor Rotman?
We're working right now on an issue that we're calling definitions, and personally, I'm very excited about it. How do you handle words that you come across in the Scriptures, like covenant, justification, repentance, sanctification? We're going to be working through some of these definitions because, as Luther rightly says, you can't really understand the whole until you make sense of the individual words. So that's our upcoming issue of Good News. And to add a bonus to this, we're developing a new aspect of the magazine in which you're going to have a hard print copy that you can use, but then you'll also be able to go to a website online and have a lot more resources on those very same topics made available to you.
Folks, you can receive Good News Magazine. Give them a call, 1-800-778-1132, 800-778-1132. Pastor Rotman, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, sir.
Folks, please consider supporting Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, Issues Etc., by making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. There's so much more in the names of Jesus. And as Pastor Rotman so rightly said there near the end, we might just have to wait, even as we earnestly study Scripture, always to find Christ and his saving work for us on every page. We might just have to wait until the last day, until he comes again, until eternity, where time will not constrain us to know and learn and understand and rejoice in and be eternally comforted by this Jesus, who goes by so many names, but is for us our salvation, our eternal life, our forgiveness, our righteousness. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.